It was a liberal term filled with some ugly accusations, but just wait till next year. That's the essence of the tea leaf reading about the U.S. Supreme Court's historic session. The court's liberal minority, disciplined and united, drove this term in a startling number of cases, while the conservatives splintered into disarray. Here's NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
The numbers tell the story. The liberals won in 19 of the 26 closely divided ideological cases, and 8 out of 10 of the most important ones. Those numbers were compiled by SCOTUS Blog, the go-to Supreme Court online journal. Publisher Tom Goldstein.
This is, by the numbers, the best term for the left in at least a quarter century.
Time after time, the liberals stuck together and managed to win over one or more conservatives, as they did, for example, in the case holding that states may refuse to issue Confederate flag specialty license plates. In that case, the court's most conservative justice, Clarence Thomas, joined the liberal four, providing the fifth and decisive vote. Goldstein says that even taking the most centrist of the conservatives, Justice Anthony Kennedy, out of the equation, one or more members of the conservative bloc crossed over to join the liberals in 14 of the most ideological cases, while the reverse was true for the liberals only 3 times. But as Goldstein observes, the liberals are, for the most part, just trying to preserve the status quo.
A lot of what's going on with the left is that it's much easier to stick together on defense.
Court watchers cite other reasons for the liberal success this year, among them that conservative activists just pushed their agenda too far. Yale Law School's Akhil Amar.
Several of the victories, the most important victories that you see, are simply the court blinking at the extremism of certain claims that were being put before it.
More numbers show conservative disarray. In all, the court's 4 most conservative justices wrote 78 dissents and concurrences versus only 27 for the liberals. In short, among the conservatives themselves, there were very different views. Supreme Court advocate Walter Dellinger.
The split among the conservatives is between, I think, ideological, professorial conservatives, Thomas, Alito, Scalia, and Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kennedy, who are more economic conservatives, which makes them more pragmatic and more realistic about what works. So you see that 3-2 split that in some ways reflects the split within the larger Republican Party politically.
Or, as Yale's Amar puts it,
the Reagan coalition is beginning to fray as the world turns, time passes, new issues arise. So you see that this coalition that could agree about some things is now disagreeing about some of the new issues that are arising.
The outcomes this term were so much of a turnaround that the liberal justices looked positively serene, even perky in June, while the tone of the conservative dissents was unusually harsh. Tom Goldstein.
The bombastic tone of the dissents this term was over the top, even for Justice Scalia, who has a blood-soaked pen at his desk.
Charles Freed served as Solicitor General in the Reagan administration.
He wrote the nastiest thing I have read in any Supreme Court opinion.
Walter Dellinger had the same job in the Clinton administration.
I've never seen that kind of really deeply personal attack that basically says the author of the opinion is not just wrong as a matter of law, he's a jerk.
That's pretty much what Scalia wrote about Kennedy's soaring rhetoric in the same-sex marriage case, calling it pretentious and egotistic. If I ever join such a vague opinion, he said, even as the price to be paid for a fifth vote, I would hide my head in a bag. Freed, a professor at Harvard Law School, says that in some ways Kennedy's opinion provoked that reaction. He maintains that Kennedy should have focused on legal precedents instead of poetic passages, and those 3 legal precedents are the court's decision striking down bans on interracial marriage and the 2 more recent decisions dealing with same-sex relations and marriage.
That is the law. Suck it up.
Even those who don't like the way the decision was written, however, see it as historic, the kind of decision that comes along only once in a half century. Amar likens it to Brown versus the Board of Education, barring segregated public schools, though there are critical differences. This time, he says, the court was not leading the charge.
It was just riding the wave, keeping up with the tide.
The court's other major opinion at the end of the term upheld nationwide subsidies in the Affordable Care Act. And as Walter Dellinger observes, Chief Justice Roberts' opinion for a 6-3 majority was surprisingly favorable to the law.
The first five pages of the Chief Justice's opinion upholding the Obamacare subsidies is the best articulation of the case for the Affordable Care Act anybody has written.
The decision did something else important. It sided with the liberal view that legislation should be interpreted in terms of its overall purpose and not by fly-specking a phrase here and there. And it said that the judiciary, not executive agencies, has the last word on such interpretations. This was Roberts' 10th year as Chief Justice, and this term he proved to be something of the justice he said he would be at his confirmation hearings, restrained and deferential to legislative bodies where possible. Walter Dellinger, now Professor Emeritus at Duke Law School.
In both the Affordable Care Act case and the same-sex marriage case, John Roberts was the only justice who took the minimalist position in both cases. That is, he neither inserted himself in the Affordable Care Act process by derailing it, as his conservative colleagues would have done, and he didn't take the judicially ambitious stance, correct in my view, of invalidating the same-sex marriage position of all those states. He's the only one whose role was minimalist in both cases of the nine justices.
Roberts has not always demonstrated such a hands-off approach. He wrote the decision striking down the key provision of the Voting Rights Act, a law Congress had enacted and reenacted by an overwhelming vote. And he has repeatedly joined and written decisions striking down most of the laws that regulate money in elections. In short, just because the liberals happen to win a lot this year doesn't mean they will in the future. Stanford Law Professor Michael McConnell.
They're liberal terms, they're conservative terms, and it largely depends upon what the case mix is.
Indeed, next term, the court has accepted a mix in the heartland of a conservative legal agenda, cases that seek to overturn or cut back past Supreme Court rulings on abortion, affirmative action, and labor union rights. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.